Hebrews chapter number 4. And I want you to look at verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4, and notice verse number 16. And with so many going through the night, this is very appropriate. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here, God is saying, if you need help, just come to my throne of grace. Keep that in mind now. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and notice verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. All right, on 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He said, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our lifestyle in the world, and more abundantly to youward." So now Paul was saying that our lifestyle, as he was talking to those Corinthian believers, as he was writing to them, he said basically our lifestyle in this world, and also what really he was doing towards the Corinthian believers, were all and only by the grace of God. And by the way, everything that goes on in our life is only by the grace of God. Now look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice verse number 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Listen, there are times when God will give us an extra measure of grace that will enable us to be able to do whatever he desires for us to do. Now, within this context here, he was talking about giving, but I'm making the application on how God can give us grace to be able to take care of whatever we need in our lives. Now, keep that in mind and look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. And we're going to draw our main points tonight from this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar passage. Notice verse number 9. The Apostle Paul writing, and he said, "Unto me," quoting the Lord now, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then he said, "Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul was saying that Christ told him that his grace that he gave to him was all sufficient. In other words, it's all that he needed. Now, if you want to marry that with Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 again, don't turn there. That was the very first one we looked at. But the writer of Hebrews made this statement: "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm going to speak tonight on this subject. You need it, you got it. Let's get some help. Father, thank you for these who have pressed their way out here on a Wednesday evening. And Father, we have, as we've already prayed a couple of times, Father, we pray for the Father, so many people who are out tonight with this flu and other things. And Father, we pray you touch them and just heal them and bring them back to the fold in a speedy manner. But Father, for those of us who are here tonight assembled, you have us here by divine appointment. Father, you have something that you're trying to convey to us this evening. So I pray right now that you'll completely fill me with your spirit. Take me out of myself. And Father, help me to only say those things you desire for me to say. If there's something you don't want me to say, Father, please take it away. And then, Father, I pray you'll give all of us ears to hear and a heart to heed. Father, strengthen us now. You know where each person is in this building tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Well, you know, I want to make a statement. I just want to say I just thank God for his grace. Amen. You think about it. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Do you know if it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't even be saved tonight? Remember, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 states, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad tonight? Listen, we just finished our series on cults and world religion just a few weeks back. Aren't you glad tonight that you're not out there trying to peddle your wares as a Jehovah's Witness? Or out there trying to give out literature as a Mormon? Or, you know, out there with the dreads as a Rastafarian? Or out there as part of the Nation of Islam or the Islamic community, whether Shiite or whatever, and on we can go with the various religions. Aren't you glad that one day the Lord took the blindfolders off your eyes and allowed you to be able to see Jesus as Savior, yourself and your sin, and you trusted Christ as your Savior? It's not because you were good enough, it's all by his grace. I like the song which says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Thank God for his grace. Not only does that grace save us, but that grace also teaches us. You remember what Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and the following says? It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved by grace. But however, there are times in our lives when we need an extra measure of grace. And Paul, the apostle, was at that point and stage in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and some of the verses we're going to look at. He was at that point to where he needed an extra measure of all sufficient grace. And Hebrews said, you come boldly to the fourth chapter that you might find grace to help in a time of need. Thank God if you need it, you've got it. And so now, when do you need this all-sufficient grace? I'm going to give you four times tonight in which you're going to need this all-sufficient grace. And if you're not in one of these four tonight, then cheer up. You'll be there sometime in the future. Number one, in case you're taking notes, number one, when you have some type of physical ailment, that's when you need it. When do you need it? Number one, when you have some type of physical ailment. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7a. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7a. The Apostle Paul writing, and many of us, you're familiar with the context of this, so I don't believe I have to get into it tonight. But notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse 7a. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, a thorn was something that was very painful. And as I tell, I've told you a number of times, either when I've taught on this passage in different messages or even when we taught through the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe that the thorn in his flesh, and you may differ on that, and that's fine. But I believe that his thorn in the flesh was an eye ailment. And I have my own beliefs, and if somebody else believes something different, then that's fine. You've got the right to be wrong. But now, if somebody believes something different, I'm not going to break fellowship over something, you know, as minute as that and minuscule as that. I'm not going to do that. And I know we can look at different passages and come up with different things, but I believe it was an eye ailment. Think about what Paul went through. Paul was stoned at Lystra, drugged outside of the city, and left for dead. He was beaten 3 times with rods. He was probably struck in the face, could have been struck in the eye by being stoned 3 times. He would have had slick, twisted scars all over his body. That's why Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. But Paul, I believe, had some type of eye ailment. I believe that was his thorn in the flesh. And here's the reason why I believe it. Look with me in Galatians chapter 4. Now keep your finger here because we're coming back. But look with me in Galatians chapter 4 and notice verse 13 down through verse 15. Galatians chapter 4, notice verse 13 down through verse 15. Paul writing to the Christians at Galatia, he said, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh, same phraseology, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, that word temptation, which means his trial, which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected. In other words, it had to be something that they could see. But received me as an angel of God, literally as a messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. They treated him with the utmost respect. He said, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? He said, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Paul said, you knew something was going on, but you could see it, but you didn't despise that thing in me. He said, if it was possible, you loved me so much, you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me. Notice chapter 6, verse 11. Galatians chapter 6, notice verse number 11. Paul said, ye see how large a letter. Now, how large a letter, it's not talking about the length of the letter, because it's only 6 chapters in Galatians. He wrote 1 Corinthians, which had good, and I think 16 chapters. Then you had 2 Corinthians, which should have 13 chapters. And so it's not about the length of the letter that he's talking about here. What he's talking about is the size of the letters that he used to write this letter. Oftentimes, people who have bad eyesight, they normally need to read things that are just a little bit bigger, and sometimes they may even write just a little bit bigger. You know, I fought it for years trying to go without having eyeglasses. But, you know, once you get so many years on you, you just got to give in. I mean, it's just no helping it. There'd be times I'd be standing up here and I'd have the hymnal and I'd be reading and batting my eyes trying to get the hymnal. And I thank God for the ones that I knew, because I could just bow the words without reading it, amen. But the problem came when I'm trying to read the scriptures, and my wife said, she would tell me at home, you need to get yourself a pair of glasses. Because there are times I'd be reading one verse and then would come down and try to get the other, and it would look foggy and so forth, and I finally just had to give in and get the specs, amen. So Paul was telling the Galatians, you see, I've written this with my own hand. I've written you some large letters, and he makes that distinction. Also, you know, he carried a doctor around with him all the time. His name was Luke, who was a physician. Matter of fact, even when Paul was about to die in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, only Luke is with me. So I believe it was some kind of eye ailment. If you come up with something else, then that's fine. But get this point. Paul had to live with this thing. And he uses the word thorn, something that's very painful. Painful. You know, there are times my eyes have pained me, but most of the time it's because maybe I have some type of sinus thing going on, and you know how you feel the pressure, and then you can feel that in your eye. But Paul had this pain that was going on, this thorn in the flesh, but yet he experienced the grace of God. And through the grace of God, although he was dealing with something, by God's grace, he was able to still keep right on preaching, keep right on teaching. Keep right on. Matter of fact, did three missionary journeys. Continued to soul win. Continued to build churches. Continued to write scripture. Why? Oh, because of the grace of God. And see, when God gives us his grace, his unmerited favor, a good acronym is God's riches at Christ's expense. When he gives us his unmerited favor, his grace, it gives us everything we need to continue to go on. Listen, I'm using it a number of times, but listen, when I was going through my sickness, and I kept a lot of things from you all back a couple of years ago when I was going through my sickness. I kept a lot from you. But I'd be back there in that office, and I'd be praying and asking God to help me and to strengthen me. And I've told it a number of times, but listen, when I would get up in the morning, I said, get up in the morning out of the bed, my heart rate was 129. Not when I'd run around, I said, when I just sit up in the bed, my heart rate was 129 because of what my thyroid was doing. When I would stand behind the pulpit and preach, my heart rate would be up over 200. And I would preach sometime for 45 minutes, and my heart rate would be up over 200. My wife, she said, she used to sit out there. She told us a number of times. She said, I used to sit out there. She said, I was just so scared. She said, oh, he's preaching. Because, you know, sometimes I only know one gear. Mother, I done stripped the gears, amen. I mean, I only know one, and that's just fast forward. I don't know how to slow it down. I have just one gear. And I know she said, and bless her heart. I mean, she loves her husband. But she said at one point, she said, I didn't know if you're going to make it or not. But you know how, unless I was in the hospital, you know, I stood behind this pulpit and I preached. I got out of the hospital at 12 o'clock on a Wednesday, and I was here preaching on Wednesday night. You say, how did you do that? It's only by the grace of God Almighty that I was able to do it. Let me tell you something. I'm a living testimony that God's grace is sufficient. And if you have some kind of ailment, something going on in your body, you might not be telling anybody, but when you go to the throne, God will give you the grace to make it on Monday, to make it on Tuesday, to make it on Wednesday, to make it on Thursday, to make it on Friday, to make it on Saturday, to make it, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, he'll give you grace for every day of the week. See, when you have some type of physical ailment, you need some all-sufficient grace. And listen, if you've got some physical problems, he can give you sufficient grace. If you need it, you got it. All you have to do is just come to his throne tonight and ask for his grace. I said, when do you receive this all-sufficient grace? Number one, I said, when you have some type of physical ailment. Secondly, when you are being attacked by the devil. When you are being attacked by the devil. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7b. He said, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And I know that there are different interpretations of this, but get the meaning. Get the understanding. The word buffet literally means to beat, to hit with the fist. We find the same word, the exact same word, in Mark chapter 14, verse 65, don't turn there. But in Mark chapter 14 and verse 65, it tells us that when Jesus was before the high priest, it said, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face. That literally meant they blindfolded him. And to buffet him, that means that they beat him. The verb buffet is in the present tense. That meant that it was something that was ongoing, constant, continuing. There was just a repeated attack. And there are times when we'll be under some type of satanic attack. But God can give you grace. Just like you look at Job. Job had one thing happen to him after another, after another, after another, after another. And it wasn't like as if it was something came upon Job, and then 3 days later, something else came, and 2 weeks later after that, something else came, and 5 months later, something else came. No, if you check out the passage, and we don't have to go there because you're familiar with it. While he was speaking, somebody else came. While he was speaking, somebody else came. While he was speaking, as each servant came and relayed something to Job before he could finish his discourse, somebody else came in with bad news. It was only by God's grace that Job was able to sit down and say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Brother, that takes grace to be able to do something like that. And see, when you are going through an attack by the devil, you need his grace. I want to ask you a question tonight. Is the devil fighting you? Is he fighting you? If you're trying to do something for God, he is fighting you. If you're trying to live for God, he is fighting you. And so if the enemy is fighting you tonight, then why don't you come and ask God for his grace? And God can give you the strength that you need to be able to stand against anything the devil can throw at you. Because if you need it, you've got it. Here's the third thing from this passage as to when you need to receive his all-sufficient grace. Number three, when you've gone through an humiliating experience. Listen, when you've gone through an humiliating experience, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7c, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." Matter of fact, if you look at that seventh verse, we have bookends. The very first part of verse number 7 says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure." Then the last part says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." See, the thorn, as I've studied it out, would indicate something that would be humiliating. Humiliating. I won't have you to turn there because I read it earlier. I just didn't emphasize it. And I talked about it a little bit, but didn't really emphasize it. In Galatians chapter 4, and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul made this statement to the Galatian Christians. He said, "In my temptation, my trial, which was in my flesh, he said, ye despised not, nor rejected me." Paul said, when you looked at me and this thing you saw, he said, you didn't despise me. He said that you didn't reject me. This thing would have been something that would have been humiliating to Paul. It was something that kept him from being exalted because of the revelation that he had received when he went to the third heaven. But dealing with man to man and just around people, it was humiliating. See, sometimes when you feel humiliated, God gives you his grace. Sometimes something will happen in your life and you say, "I just can't face people. I'm humiliated." But see, though, that's the time you need to go to God's throne and get some special grace. Because God can give you grace to be able to face things that are even humiliating to your soul. And see, when God gives you that grace, he'll give you the strength. And then when he gives you the strength, he'll help you to see things in a different light. When do you receive this all-sufficient grace? I said, when you have some type of physical ailment. Secondly, when you are being attacked by the devil. Number three, when you've gone through an humiliating experience. Here's the fourth one. When your prayers go unanswered. You need this all-sufficient grace when your prayers go unanswered. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse number 8. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Three times Paul prayed that this thing would depart from him. But each time he got a no, a no, a no. His prayers were not answered. And the Bible says he besought, that literally meant he was literally begging, pleading with the Lord for the Lord to answer his prayer. Think over your life, maybe even now. Have you ever prayed about something and pled with God about something and wanted God to answer your prayer, and then God didn't answer your prayer in the way that you wanted him to answer your prayer? See, in that instant, if we're not careful, then we can get bitter because God didn't answer my prayer. But see, instead of getting bitter, what we need to do is get better. And we can only get better by coming to his throne and receiving his grace in our lives. Paul wanted the Lord to take away this thorn, but he didn't. I'm sure Paul probably thought, I can serve you better if you would just take away this thorn that I'm dealing with in my flesh. I could do more for you if I didn't have to deal with this. But see, God is not concerned with our comfort. God is concerned with our character. And oftentimes, God allows you to be able to deal with things and go through things so he can develop character in us. See, he wants Christ to be formed in us. And sometimes, in order to look like something else, you've got to be molded and shaped and fashioned. And that takes pressure. That takes pain sometimes. And there are times when God will say no, because you'll be better off the way you are. You'll be closer to me the way you are than if I allowed this thing to happen in your life. And sometimes God will say no now, or he may say just wait a while and I'll give it to you later. But see, Christ is more concerned with our character. And oftentimes he's working some things in us and forming some things in us. And when we come to his throne and he gives us his grace, it allows us to be able to see things in a totally different light. See, when your prayers go unanswered, we need to come to his throne. See, sometimes we read too much into a verse. See, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, sometimes when we have a prayer request, we think, okay, well, I'm going to take that prayer request to God, because you said come boldly unto the throne of grace and he'll erase the problem. That's not what the verse says. The Bible says come boldly unto the throne of grace that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What he's saying is he's not always saying that he will always deliver us from something, but he said, I'll give you grace to help you to be able to make it through. See, I prayed. I wanted God to deliver me and to touch me. Once the doctor said, you're going to have surgery and be on medication for the rest of your life, I had more than one doctor who told me that. I wanted God to heal me right then and there. But he didn't. And I've told you a number of times, I didn't have any doubt. I'm serious about this. I didn't have any doubt that God was going to touch me and that God was going to heal me. My doctor looked at me and she said, if God heals you, she said, I'll write a book about it. How's that to get from your doctor? Amen. She said, I'll write a book about that. Well, get your pen and paper ready. Amen. But see, what God wanted to do is God, every time we have things that come up in our life, they oftentimes come up as a test to see if we're going to be true. Because we can be true when everything is good and when everything is going our way. And when God is answering all of our prayers and when we have plenty of money in the bank and we have all of our health, when everything is going great, but when we pray and God may not answer that prayer in the way that we so desires, it's right then and there. That's the acid test of our Christianity. And sometimes we can get to a place of despondency. But when that happens, go to his throne and get some help, and he can give you what you need. Which brings me to my conclusion. Don't get too happy, but I'm in my conclusion. What comes with grace? All right, so when God gives you his grace, what comes with it. Well, from this passage, we'll find out there is a new power, and this is a sub-point under the conclusion, if you want to put it that way, a new power of God on your life. A new power of God on your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9b. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, he makes a statement. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. And then he said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul made this statement about I will glory in his infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon him. Literally upon me, but I'm just paraphrasing it. So literally, Christ's strength, literally, and in us, allows our strength to be made perfect when we're weak. In other words, Christ will strengthen us, and once we realize that we're weak, then we'll realize that we're strong, because we're operating in his strength. And the word strength is a Greek word, dunamis, which means power. Dynamite, we get our word from. Sometimes when you go through a valley and then you experience his grace in that valley, you'll find a new touch and a new power upon your life that wasn't there before you went through your trial or your test. Also, secondly, there'll be a new attitude about your situation. There'll be a new attitude about your situation. Paul said he would start to glory in his infirmities, glory in his weaknesses. And the word glory literally means to boast, to rejoice in his infirmities. In other words, grace will give you a change of attitude. Someone will say, well, my situation is bad, but God's still on the throne. See, it gives us a totally different attitude once we experience his grace. See, when his grace comes upon your life, that doesn't mean that your situation is going to change, but the way you look at the situation will change. And then when that happens, you're going to change, and you get a new outlook, a new zest, a new zeal, even though the situation is still the same, but you're looking at it in a totally different way. I could give you illustrations tonight, but I think you get the point. See, Paul's situation didn't change, but his attitude changed. That's grace. Paul knew when he wrote 2 Timothy that he was about to die. But he said, I'm not ready to be offered. He said, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me in heaven a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He said, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. His old attitude was different. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment that happens by coming to God's throne of grace. Also, you get a new attitude about life in general. In 2 Corinthians 12, 10a, it says, therefore I take pleasure. Now you got to remember, Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now if you heard somebody around here make that statement, I take pleasure in what Paul's about to say, you say, all right, you need to come hit the altar. Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and look at what he said. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. He said, I take pleasure in these things. Now, how could Paul take pleasure in these things? Well, Paul knew that when he was going through these things and he had God's grace reigning in his life, that he was only going to get stronger as a result of what he was going through. And so therefore, when it came, he said, I take pleasure in it. You know, there are some people who, for example, some people take pleasure in putting their body under physical strain. Others will do it, but they hate it. But some people love getting under the weights and bench pressing weights and curls and all that kind of stuff. They look forward to that. Why? Because they know the results. And see, when some look forward to that, it gives them a totally different outlook. And they attack it in a totally different way because they want to have a massive physique like Pastor Dennis. Why are y'all laughing like that? You just hurt my face. But no, they know that it's going to only benefit them. See, once we spend time and receiving grace from his throne and we're in that throne room and getting what we need, it gives us a totally different attitude on life. And you'll begin to thank God for things that at one time you were crying out to God for deliverance from. If I could say something and allow you not to think that I'm just saying this because I'm up here, because God is my witness. Listen, there are times, even just this past week, I've actually been thanking the Lord for certain things that transpired in my life that were not good, but I was thanking him for those things because they caused me to draw closer to the Lord and give me a zest and a zeal that had waned just a little bit. Sometimes when you go through some things and you come out of them, you begin to thank God. And so therefore, when things come your way, they don't bother you like they used to, because you know God is in control. And then it also gives a new awareness of oneself. 2 Corinthians 12:10b, Paul said, For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, when I feel like I'm the weakest, I know that's when I'm strong. You know, we have 5 senses. We have hearing. We have sight. We have touch. We have taste and smell. And they've said that when one sense goes out, one of your senses goes out, another one gets a little bit stronger. For example, if you lose your eyesight, oftentimes your hearing will become more keen and more acute. And so once we lose our own strength, we actually find ourselves becoming stronger, because we're not strong in ourselves anymore, because self is weak. But we find ourselves strong in him. And then we begin to thank God for his grace. See, do you need God's grace tonight? Do you have some kind of physical ailment? Are you being attacked by the devil? Is there some humiliating experience that you're going through that you don't want to even deal with people and be in the presence of others? Has God said to you that he wants your life to be closer to him? And sometimes through that, God will use some things to draw us closer. Well, if that's the case tonight, then Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Maybe tonight you're dealing with some things. Thank God you can come and get some grace. And when you get grace, God can give you the strength to be able to make it. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer.